everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the items itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose the same item at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Thank you. Is there any apologies? No apologies. Sorry, Sarah.
No, we haven't received any apologies.
Okay. Is there any declarations of interest? Okay. Sorry, someone's not muted there. And if we go on to the action sheet. So go through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5.
Councillor Stokes has a question.
Yeah, I'm terribly sorry. For some reason, it's not coming up. What am I looking at here? I'm trying to get live conversation. I can't see that. That's coming up. Okay, Sarah. So, Councillor Stokes. Sorry, if I take you in, please. Sorry, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, not directly on this action sheet. What about on the previous action sheet? I had Mr. Connor. We had some discussions over the summer in relation to cycle lanes and walkways in Uri. Is there to ask, is there any update on that, Chair? Possible. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Mr. Mallon's going to give a quick update.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I have had discussions last week with DFI and the Walking and Cycling Champion. They had taken on to develop some feasibility studies on a cycle link between the towpath and the greenway through the middle bank. and they were to develop some drawings and some concepts. That work has taken sort of a has been stalled and delayed slightly due to the development of the DFI revitalisation grant to councils that has been announced a few weeks ago. So they're conscious that that work still is required, and they'll pick up on that again once the grant fund has been released and managed through the councils. So they're conscious of that.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Chair. Councillor Clark then has a question.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark.
Willie, you don't need your headset. You can just use the microphone.
Thanks very much, sir. It's just a question, Connor, and we've discussed it previously in regards to Newcastle Harbour and about the historic, action sheet and the regeneration proposals were from the harbour. I think it's about 2011, probably pretty dated, but the same issue still applies. So just how we're bringing that forward, Connor.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Councillor, we're looking at it and the fact that if it's age, that it's a 2011 report. We're looking at bringing it up to date, and we're working on that at the minute. And once we get it up to date, we'll come back with a report to this committee on what our findings are.
Councillor McAteer has a question.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was on page 5 just that I had brought it up, but the artisan markets had a query, I think it was the last meeting. So I just see us ongoing, but nothing there on that.
Thanks, Chair. I'll come in on that. Again, that's something that we'll bring back a report to the next committee. But we're happy to have discussions offline with you, Councillor McAteer, between now and then to feed in some of your concerns into that report.
Right. Will somebody be in contact with me?
Yes, someone will be in contact.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, moving on then. Do we need a proposal? No. Okay. Proposal and a seconder for the action sheet.
I think Councillor Clark had proposed.
And sorry, I can't see the chat icon, so Councillor McGrew is happy to second. Okay. Councillor, I do apologise. My chat function isn't working terribly well here, so I'll rely on your good manners and civility with each other to come in order as best we can here. So item number 4 is a notice of motion, and I'm going to invite Councillor Brown to speak on the motion. First, so Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I'll take the motion as read there. It's gone to full council and through the AHC committee incorrectly, and now it's back in the right place for discussion. The background to the motion was a BBC report that overall the number of dogs in Northern Ireland euthanised by councils right across Northern Ireland has gone down significantly over the last 9 years, and by as much as 90% across the province. But unfortunately, of the 156 animals killed in that period, over a third of those were from our own district. So there was quite a lot of press and on social media at the time and concern about those figures. So really the motion is trying to get to the bottom of why that is. And I'm sure committee will agree that explanation should be sought to try and understand why our number is so high relative to other councils, and that we should also be taking proactive to try and reduce that number as much as possible. I'd like to point out at the outset that I'm not bringing this motion to try and finger point at any officers or anyone involved in euthanizing or helping or bringing in dogs in anywhere across the district. And I'd like to recognize the hard work being done day and daily to rehome and protect dogs across the district, in particular the hard work of the dog wardens, corn kennels and animal welfare charities in the area. However, questions do need to be asked as to why our rate is so high, and hopefully this motion will help answer some of those questions and maybe offer some solutions as well. I'd like to thank the officers who have provided this detailed report. I'm very pleased to see that action has been taken in advance of this motion being debated and agreed. I think it's certainly a more efficient way to do things. And it also allows us to look in detail at the figures. And indeed, I think some interesting points can be drawn from them. First of all, in terms of the key issues raised in the report on page two there, I very much welcome the efforts being made to work with the PSNI on tackling puppy farming. That's a problem that has gotten significantly worse in recent months, and indeed during lockdown as well, as many families are looking to take in pets, spending more time at home and so on. It's become a real issue. That's covered under item D in the report, and that should certainly be applauded and welcomed. I'm also pleased that council are in discussions ongoing with charitable organisations, you know, animal welfare charities and so on. That's mentioned there at item C. But it's mainly the figures and strategies that are used by other council areas that are mentioned under points A and B there that I want to touch on in more detail. And I think give us a bit more clarity as to the root of, or the source of the problems. The summary that's been provided on page 13 is very useful and highlights what other councils are doing. I would like to note for the record it's disappointing that some of the councils with zero or very low numbers of dogs euthanised have not responded to our communication as yet, including Ards and North Down and Belfast. This could perhaps lead you to assume that they are not reporting their figures as transparently as possible. But if they have indeed found a strategy that works to reduce the number of dogs euthanized, I would think they should be keen to share it. I therefore ask, or maybe someone from the committee would like to propose that we write again to all those who haven't responded, all those councils, asking them for their strategy and why their numbers are so low compared to other areas in many cases. On page two, three reasons are given by council as to why dogs might be euthanized in our area: poor health, aggressive and old. Whereas on page 13, it states just unfit or aggressive. So I'd also like to ask for clarity on this policy in particular, and whether it can be changed, if necessary, to only animals who are either severely unwell or severely or aggressive or dangerous, as I believe many older dogs can still be rehomed, so I'm not sure that phrasing and policy is correct and needs tightened up a little bit. Another concern I have is that while some councils, for example Fermanagh and Omagh and ABC, have direct arrangements with the Dogs Trust and other charities, we do not, and instead we leave this decision around euthanising animals or rehoming them or selling them to the kennelling facility in the district. The reason this concerns me is that compared to other councils, only 5 of the 134 dogs in Newry Morningdown were passed to shelters or animal charities. That's around 4% of the total. Compare that to Mid-Ulster, who have a similar number of dogs received each year to us at 146, but they actually pass 104 of those dogs to charities. That's 71%. That's a whole 67% more than our own council. And they euthanize less than half of the dogs that we do, despite having similar numbers. By the way, I'd like to point out that I'm working from figures provided by Fintan on the 14th of August. That covers the April 2019 to March 2020 period. These were actually dug up by Councillor Catherine Owens, who was also looking into this issue. I'd like to thank her for actually getting those. It's not that easy to read the figures as they're laid out in the report there, just whatever way the spreadsheet has come out. But as these figures were passed from our own council, I will assume they are accurate. If they are accurate, there's another very interesting piece of data to pick up on, and that's that 97 of the 134 dogs received in that period in our district are sold. That's 72%. Those are generating an income for the council in being sold. If we compare that figure to the council with the next highest number of sales, again, that's Mid-Ulster, 24% of their animals are sold. That's almost a 50% difference between the number of dogs sold between the two areas. Other councils, by comparison as well, often sell as little as 10% of their dogs or less than that. Now, whilst we do not know and possibly cannot know the number of dogs who are eventually put down by the animal charities once they are passed to them, there are a number of charities who will avoid euthanizing in all but the most severe cases. Many aggressive dogs, for example, can still have a quality of life under the right circumstances, but doing so is costly. And certainly they cannot be sold by council or our kenneling facility to the public for obvious reasons. So we sell the most animals of any other council, and we euthanize the most as well, and we pass the lowest number to animal charities. There is a correlation there, I believe, and the conclusion that I'm drawing from this and my main concern that we need to consider as a committee is, are we putting the resaleability of dogs ahead of rehoming them, whether that be publicly or with an animal charity? And as a result, are we euthanizing dogs that can't be sold but could be kept alive? Related to this, is our comparative lack of partnership with dog charities leading to dogs being unnecessarily put down when they could be taken in by those charities? The recommendation I would make from this, if someone on the committee would like to take it forward, is that we urgently reach out to all relevant animal charities and work with the kenneling facility in our area to establish a formal partnership with them so that they, the animal charities, can decide whether a dog which is unsellable privately could still be saved from being put down. So basically, animal charities would always have the chance to take in any unwanted or aggressive dogs before they are put down. That is in addition to supporting the good work already being done by officers to work with the PSNI, animal charities and other councils to resolve this issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. I'm now going to take in Mr. Jackson to go through said report, and then we'll open it up to the virtual floor. So, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, we have to recognise that there are always going to be some dogs that need to be euthanised, and for the reasons that have already been stated there. We also have to recognise that our council has the second highest number of dogs impounded in this council area when compared to other council areas in Northern Ireland. So we basically collect more unwanted dogs and more stray dogs than any of the other councils. We're the second highest in Northern Ireland. So therefore, saying that, we're always going to have a high proportion of dogs using euthanized as well. Now, having said that, in an attempt to reduce the number of dogs euthanized, my recommendation is to note the content of the report that you have in front of you and to seek to develop working arrangements with our council kenneling facility owner and other dog charities and shelter homes for the collection of the dogs, and to engage with all relevant stakeholders, including the PSNI, to address the issues, including the tackling of illegal and unethical breeding establishments for the sale of dogs, particularly online. So if the committee agree, what I would do is I intend to go do some work in this area and intend to bring back a further progress report for this committee to consider in due course. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Councillor Clark.
Right, thanks, Chair. And the officer report or recommendation, I would totally agree with it. I suppose moving forward, we're a very rural council, a vast area, and we do have a lot more dogs straying and having to be taken into kennels. In relation to the kennels that are contracted by the council, I think they do an awesome job, do a really, really good job. And anybody I'm speaking to, when dogs do become available for rehoming, there is a large list of people looking for the dogs. Obviously, aggressive dogs are harder to probably rehoming for obvious reasons. We can't take a risk to allow aggressive dogs to go into a household which could attack a child. So these facts or factors have to be borne out when we're looking at any sort of policies moving forward. Older dogs, I find, again, older dogs in our kennels are accommodated. You know, they do find homes. We're not working with charities because most of our dogs are rehomed, so we don't need to work with charities. The figures in regards to, 72% in regards to Patrick has said dogs is rehomed. I think it's a credit to the kennels that, that we have tendered for and are supplying the service for us. But as I say, moving forward, I think they're doing a good job. We always need to keep an eye out. We need to look at, can we do things differently? Can we improve things? Nobody wants to put a dog down. I'm sure the people who run the kennels don't want to put dogs down. But sometimes it has to happen. I think we just follow the officer's recommendation and moving forward, and I propose that.
Is there, are we all in agreement? Does anybody else want to come in on this, councillors?
Councillor McAteer has seconded it.
Okay, so, Councillor Clark, did you propose, Councillor Clark? Sorry, Councillor Clark proposed, and, Councillor, McAteer, I second that. Is that okay? Did it need verbalised for the audio, Sarah, or?
Yes, please, yeah.
I propose the officer's recommendation.
And I second that, sir. Second, I get here.
Okay, thank you, councillors. Motion's carried.
Sorry, if you just check that all the councillors are in agreement.
Are all, there's no dissenting voices, councillors? No? Okay, moving on. Moving on is the ERT, item number 5, the ERT business plan, and Mr. Mallon's going to take this.
Thanks, Chair. The report tonight in front of you is an update, or the assessment, the annual assessment of the Directorate Business Plan for 2019-2020. And the presentation of this to committee was delayed due to the interruption of COVID. The recommendation is that the annual assessment within the report is agreed. I'm happy to take any questions on any elements of the business plan.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mallon. Councillor Stokes, you're happy to propose, but also a question, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, happy to propose. Looking through it, I suppose, fantastic to see it's full of smiling faces, so we're meeting, as far as I can see, almost all of our targets, but what jumps out at you is that we're still falling short on our targets in terms of planning. And I was reading this afternoon, and on the back of, we had a very good discussion this morning at our finance meeting, and a discussion around maximising investment into the district and maximising, therefore, our rates space. And what struck me, and I don't know if we've done this or looked at this at all, Chair, but have we ever carried out an exercise to look at, by the fact, by not hitting our targets in terms of planning, how much investment and rates are we missing out on every year by not hitting those targets? And I was thinking, is that an exercise? I wouldn't say it's that simple, but would that be worth, Chair, maybe bringing a consultant in for a quick exercise to look at how much we're losing out in terms of investment and rates by not hitting those targets? Because I was thinking it may even be a justification if we find out, for example, we're losing out X in investment and X in terms of rates, there could actually be a justification there in putting more resources into our planning department to reach our targets, so we wouldn't be losing out those amounts, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Mallon, yep.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Councillor, the planning figures and the performance figures, I agree, could and should be a lot better. It's very difficult to actually pinpoint what loss of investment there is to the district as a result of a delayed planning decision. It probably delays the investment because they can't invest until they have the planning application approved. But I'm not sure there's any direct link or any way that we could look at and say that the delays of the planning have any hard and fast link to lack of investment. But it's something that I'm more than prepared to look into and to try and do a bit of research and come back with any findings.
I appreciate that, Colin. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. No, I agree with Gary and what he's saying, that we could be missing out on opportunities, you know, for economic development in the area because planning applications aren't approved, if you know, on time or efficiently. And I'm not taking anything away from the office involved in that piece of work. But obviously, if you're not seen as a can-do council area, then people will go elsewhere. And I think that's fair to say. I think all officers realise that. I think we're working towards that. We have brought a consultant in to improve the planning process. And maybe it'd be useful to get an update from that planning consultant on the progress that has been made. I know there was a planning symposium there recently. Unfortunately, I couldn't get on to it. But maybe it would be useful, maybe at the next ERT meeting, to hear the progress that has been made and to bring forward any proposals maybe that the consultant has. You know, there's no doubt about it. What we want is a one-stop shop. We want economic development and planning working in a seamless direction. And we want as many jobs, many businesses, many houses developed in our area. You know, so anything that goes towards that, then certainly we have to look into that and move it forward. As I say, any economic proposal that comes into the district needs to be treated as a priority. And it's my understanding that it has happened. It could be legacy issues and legacy applications is flawing maybe the figures or skewing the figures. It's my understanding that, you know, economic proposals are being progressed quickly.
Mr. Mallon.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to take a report, an updated report on progress with our initiatives to try and improve the planning process to next month's committee.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, I was just looking at, as again, Gary threw our attention to the smileys or the lack of them. No, I thought perhaps it might have been more fair on the planning department if we had given them an amber. Because the red is that, if you look at the key, the red is that it's unlikely it'll ever be achieved. So I think with that David Fitzsimmons was in and there has been work done, and given the COVID situation and staffing, they were doing incredibly well during that period. So I thought maybe that would warrant a kind of an amber as opposed to red. But I do take the point what people are talking about, and just could ask Connor, you know, is it accurate to state that, you know, some of the economic development applications that are coming in, that they are getting a sort of a special treatment or a specific treatment as opposed to the, you know, the ordinary 5/8 application coming into the normal extension or whatever, you know. So just to hear what he's saying up on.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Mr. Mallon?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. With your first point, Councillor McAteer, around the red face or the sad face or whatever you want to call it, and these are end-of-year figures, so they're based on the raw data, and if we haven't met that target by the end of the reporting period, the opportunity to improve has gone because we're at end-of-year. Secondly, around the major applications and the we have established a major team, a team within the planning department that is set up to deal with just major applications only. So we have moved and we have introduced new processes and procedures to try and deal with the major applications, and those are the ones that generally would have the economic investment for the district. So there's moves ahead to try and improve our performance in that area.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Councillor Burgess, you were looking to second that. Do you have anything to add, Councillor Burgess?
No, just to the back of that there, the planning is really working well. It needs a wee bit more time, but I think we're getting there as a planning team, and it has improved. And all those staff members deserve a good deal of credit for the hard work and all they're putting in. Yes, Chair, I'd second that proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. So that was proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Having to move on, councillors? Yep. Okay. Item number 6 is an update regarding the Belfast Region City deal. Mr. McGilley is to report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Chair, you have in front of you a report that goes into a fair bit of detail around Belfast Region City deal. This would have been a presentation that would have been made to the members that sit on the steering group from Uri Moore and down. So this gives you an overview of where the programme is in general. It also goes into a bit of detail around each of the projects that have been included in the city deal. Heads of terms that have been agreed with the executive and with government in moving that forward, Chairman. The key recommendations tonight are to, number one is to note the content of the report and then to approve that we establish a financial agreement with Belfast City Council as per our budgets this year for the contribution required in terms of the administration and the costs around some of the research and development of projects in the city deal plan. Chairman, so those are the two recommendations in the report this evening in front of you for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Savage, take Councillor Savage in first. And Councillor Brown, I know you've got a queue in there, but we're going to do the courtesy of the committee members taking them in first, Councillor Brown, so we'll work through it and then we'll get to yourself. So Councillor Savage, thank you.
Chair, it's just really having a look through that. It's really in relation to the Newry City Centre regeneration element of the city deal. And I note that this element has cleared checkpoint 2 and is progressing towards submission to outline business case, which is due to be finalised by November and November sort of December time. Chair, sort of given that Council has passed an amended motion stating that Council agrees to wait the consultant's report on the proposed Newry Civic Centre, which is to be presented to the Council in September 2020, which I believe it has been, to the Project Board, agrees not to go to tender or submit a planning application in this scheme until this report is re-evaluated by Council and the recommendations of that re-evaluation are put to an extensive public consultation. Chair, first of all, can I ask, and this is somebody who wants to see this project come to fruition and see the potential £8 million plus investment in our city. And we all want to see Newry become the city that it was supposed to be back in 2002 when it got city status. What I'm really looking at here is how does the proposed review of the civic centre element of the city regeneration element of it sit in relation to the timelines in particular. I'm concerned that we are looking at outline business case timelines that are looking at November, December, and we are looking potentially at looking to see if we can review that element of it, reevaluate it, and put it out to public consultation. First of all, you know, can that be done without potentially jeopardising any of the inward investment? And secondly, have the departments involved insisted that all elements of this must be through outline business case and shovel ready effectively? If one element of that falls, does it potentially jeopardise that level of investment? I think there's a need for clarity in this because this was a motion that was passed by the majority of councillors at a full council meeting. At a council meeting and subsequent full council meeting, there were no objections to that that decision taken by councillors. So I'm looking and seeking for clarity on that on those elements of it, because I think that, you know, if we can have that clearly defined to us, then we know the path of travel going forward over the next number of crucial months. And I do pay tribute to everyone who's been involved in working hard in this scheme and bringing it to where it is. I just want to make sure that that element of it is interrogated, and we come out the other end of it happy that we're making the right decisions. And that's purely and simply taking a prudent approach in relation to our ratepayers. I just like clarity on those elements that I've outlined, if that's possible at all, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Just, sorry, I need to, Sarah, Ms. Taggart's connection is dropping off,
I'm just going to stop the recording and one of the other guys is going to pick it up, just so that there's no issues off in the recording.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drop off on it and then I'll restart. That's it.
No,
I'll drop off and come back on then.
Okay, so recording started again then, yes? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Savage. Sorry for the sort of the intermission there. Mr. Mallon?
Thanks, Chair. In response to your query around the clarity on the civic or the Newry City Centre regeneration elements within the Belfast Region City deal, I don't want to try and preempt or rehearse what's going to be presented in detail to SPNR this Thursday night. So I think at SPNR on Thursday night, all the detail and the clarity that you've sought will be presented to the committee. And I hope that's an opportunity for your issues to be cleared and discussed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Councillor Tennelly?
Councillor Savage there just outlined. I too would have great concern that a business case has been pulled together and we seem to be on a direction of travel that gives no regard to the democratic decision that was taken by council. So I'm just wondering what actually does be talked about. It mentioned here that this is now proceeded through checkpoint 2. So was that democratic decision factor into the discussions before it got through checkpoint 2? And also then on page 2 of the report, it says, or it refers about ongoing engagement with the department. So has the democratic decision taken by the council been flagged up to the department at this stage? To let them know that there is a chance that the findings of a public consultation may put us down a different path. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Tenley. Mr. Mallon?
Thanks, Chair. In response to Councillor Tenley, the checkpoint 2 we're referring to is the Tourist Regeneration Advisory Board group within Belfast Region City deal. That checkpoint has been necessary in order to get the OVC in a position where we can present it to council to have the report agreed and an agreement to take it to submission to Belfast Region City Deal. So the discussions and the debates that have been ongoing through them checkpoints and with the department has allowed us to be in a position to provide a full and detailed outline business case for presentation to committee on Thursday night.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. I'm going to take Councillor Clark now.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose to say at the outset, I think it's an exciting project. I sit on the Belfast City Deal Forum. And there's a number of projects, I have to say, exciting projects right across the region. I think members need to be aware that we're in a competition with other projects in that region. There's not enough money in the pot for all the projects. And while people or elected representatives, even from Newry, are talking about they have difficulties with the project of regeneration of Newry, I think they need to be cautious. I think they need to be mindful of what they're saying, because this will filter down into the departments in regards to that Newry isn't ready for business, does not want regeneration. And then the departments will look elsewhere when it comes to it. When they're looking at criteria, they will look elsewhere. So people need to be mindful of what they're asking for. In regards to, I know my own area, the way to the Mourns project, a massive project, over £30 million coming into our area to put in a state-of-the-art facility. Similar capacity for tourists as the Giant Causeway, for example, the Titanic Water, bringing them numbers of visitors into our area. I think all councillors need to be on board and supporting our officers and what they're trying to do and trying to achieve. I'm not taking away what was proposed at a council meeting. Now, Sinn Féin objected against that proposal, that we thought that it should just go to the mandatory consultation through the planning process, where citizens would have their right and their views heard. To look at the proposal now and how we carry out that consultation, the outline business case will come to the committee, SPNR. We'll have a good discussion on that. But it'll be about how the centre looks is going to be the discussion. It's going to be the consultation. It's not going to be about a different site. It's going to be about that site. It's going to be about the consultation of what's in the building and how the building is going to benefit the people of Newry and further afield, how ordinary citizens are going to be involved in that new centre. And if we look at the expansion of Daisy Hill Services, for example, when we move out of this site that I'm sitting in now, there's an opportunity for that expansion of services, for health services in the Newry area. And I think that has to be welcomed as well. And any consultation, that will have to be taken on board. But also in regards to the regeneration of Newry, it's a small amount of money coming from the city deal. I think it's about 8 or 9 million. But it will have massive benefits for the Newry area and for their field, both from a rate space, but also for private sector business. As we come out of the COVID-19 crisis pandemic, we need these types of projects. This is ready-made for us to recover. And for people that start looking for reasons to oppose it, I think they're neglecting their citizens and the people who put them in office. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to say that I was part of the Belfast City Region deal originally when it first started, and I think it's probably the most exciting package of investment to come into our region, certainly in a very long time, if not ever. My colleague, Councillor Clark, has said this is, like most processes, it is going to be incredibly competitive. And I think we have a duty of care to our ratepayers to make sure that we are in there and best place to apply for and to secure whatever funding is possible. I understand, you know, that there is another process which will be taking place, but we must continue to work up this proposal because, let me tell you, there are other people snapping at our heels that will be only too happy to take the money. I know this will be discussed much, much more thoroughly on Thursday night, and I look forward to that conversation. I think it's also important to point out the package of funding that this is included for this, the investment that is included into our arts. And at the minute, you know, we're all very aware that our arts sector is being really crucified due to the current COVID-19 situation. And the arts and theatre are something that we have always been immensely proud of in this area. Should it be our fascias, our feelers, our music society, our trad orchestras, you know. we need to be doing what we can to support local businesses, and local businesses are hurting, and that hurting is only going to intensify from what we can see at the minute. And we need to turn Uri into a city that, you know, can host state-of-the-art concerts and performances so that people will come and they'll invest their money in our restaurants and our bars and our hotels. And, you know, if we were to sit back at this stage and allow this opportunity to slip through our hands, it would be simply unforgivable. So I'm happy to take on board what the officers have said here. This is one more step in our journey. It's not the final decision, but it is certainly a progressive step. And I'm also happy to propose that we go with the recommendations of the officers. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor McAteer.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just can I just ask just one thing again on that, on this, it's around the Southern Relief Road. Among many issues, of course, around the Southern Relief Road, one is that the access to Uri Basin, Canal Basin, they boat. And can I just say, before it actually gets too far into the scheme again, or the city deals proposals, because it will have an impact, can I propose that we instigate a council, you know, that we instigate a council corporate view, sorry, my phone just went off, corporate view on whether, you know, it is feasible or it is in the council's plan to have either tall ships or the type or size of draft and masts coming into the Albert Basin area. You know, so I think it's an appropriate time to do this, that at least council will have a view on it, you know.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Mr. Mullen coming in.
Thanks, Chair. As we know, the project for the Southern Relief Road is a Department for Infrastructure-led project, and there is an opportunity to actually have a meeting soon with the Minister for Infrastructure, and that may be an opportunity to have a discussion around the council position.
Sorry, can I just think that I think that we need, the council needs to get a position before we start talking to ministers.
Councillor McAteer, is this the right avenue for this, or
enterprise regeneration and tourism, I think it fits perfectly, yeah. But I just do think we need, you know, we need a committee, or this council needs to get a position on it, you know, and maybe an officer needs to bring a report to this committee, you know, on the feasibility of this and the viability of it and what the future plans are. Because we could end up, you know, wasting a lot of time, people, you know, exploring one avenue to have a bridge or bridges going over the canal and river that are not needed, or certainly that the council view is that they are needed. But I just think that it's appropriate that the council take a decision on this in terms of its plans going forward for tourism and in the area, you know, especially in Uri.
Mr. Mullen, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy to take on board your comments and your thoughts. I think it would need further debate. And we'd need to agree what the terms of reference of any report or any study or assessment would be with respect to the council, as opposed to the Southern Relief Road in its own right. So I'm happy to take away and try to develop something along them lines.
That's great, Connor. Marvellous. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor McAteer, Mr. Mullen. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure I heard Councillor Clark, if I heard him right, he said that in terms of new council offices, that this was the only site and there would be no other site. Well, those are three points that would concern me, Chair. First of all, that would prejudge the consultation, which the council, the full public consultation, which the council at its September meeting agreed to do, that in disregarding the views of Newry people and surrounding areas in terms of the damage that may be done to the vista, that is particularly only noticed at night, you notice it more at night, the floodlit area behind Newry Cathedral, and how beautiful it is, and the impact, the visual impact that's going to have by putting council officers there, that, you know, I think we cannot prejudge that. We have to give the people their say. Secondly, given the fact, Chair, we're telling, that we'll be telling the parish and the church itself, that you're, that's going there whether you like it or not. And when in fact we know we've only recently entered into discussions with the parish, the first meeting being in August. And finally, Chair, telling the businesses in the area that we're going to take away your car park, which has been there all of my lifetime, whether you like it or not. So if I understood correctly, he's saying that that's the only site we're going forward with, and that would be of great concern to me and the people I represent, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. I'm just going to take in Councillor Brown, who's been waiting patiently, Councillor Brown, but to say if we keep it to the point of the paper, rather than segueing too far into subsequent matters.
That's right, Chair. I would never do such a thing. But thank you very much for letting me in there. I know I'm not on the committee, but I think it's very important to put on record as an elected representative my concerns about progressing with this business case before the results of a public consultation are not in. You know, management have had plenty of time following the motion that was agreed by council to progress that, and I look forward to seeing exactly how that will look when it comes to SPNR on Thursday. But Willie's saying there that the consultation will be about how the building looks. That is completely incorrect, and I hope officers are not working on that assumption.
You know, Councillor Brown, is this segueing? I mean, is this the paper in front of us, or is this sort of points of order on what proposals might be that are being discussed on Thursday, Councillor Brown?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the aesthetic, that has to be challenged, because the aesthetic details can be of the, any, you know, civic centre can be ironed out in the planning consultation process, but the public consultation, which came out of Gavin Malone's motion via an amendment from the SDLP, will establish in light of COVID whether or not we continue with this project or not. So I think it's very important that we have that on record, that it's not just a furniture arranging exercise, but actually to establish the viability of the project going forward. So I concur with comments made by Councillors Tinnelly and Stokes in that regard as well, and I just wanted to get my concern on record that we're not prejudging that consultation.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. And as I say, this will be further thrashed out on Thursday night at SPNR. So Councillor Clark, Councillor McGrew, you're happy to propose, and just for the record, Councillor Clark, are you happy to second? Well, you've already been in once, Councillor Clark, so if you make your second, and then we'll move on. Yeah. Well, you know, we won't, okay. Well, you've been in once, Councillor Clark. Clark, if you make your point briefly then, and second, thank you.
I'll second the proposal. The point I'm trying to make is, and I said at the outset, Chair, that the more obstacles people put in place of these projects, the more obstacles you put in place, that is the detriment to the project, and you're going to lose the funding. I just want to put that in record, Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's fair enough. I'm happy enough to second.
Thank you, Clark. Is everyone in agreement? Notice then. Okay, moving on.
Sorry, Councillor Tinley was not in agreement there.
Okay. So,
Sure, I would have liked to come in briefly if that was possible.
Well,
Councillor Clark is now to come in after quite an hour.
Yeah, you're quite right, Councillor Savage, but to say if you can try and be brief in passing remark, please. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very simple. As the person who proposed the amended motion, I'm very clear in what was put to council and what was agreed by the majority of councillors, and it was not to look at where we put the pot plants and where we put the desks in a civic centre. It was to look at the project in relation to the backdrop of where we are post-COVID. This is too big a project, too important to Newry, and we need to get it right. I'm about getting this right, not about getting it wrong and leaving a legacy financially that we can't cope with. And that's only been prudent. And I've said from the outset that I support fully the work that's been done to date on the city centre regeneration programme. I want to see the city regenerated, but not at a cost that we can't afford, and not in a way where we're not bringing our people with us. Very simple.
That's what you're doing.
Okay, thank you, Conor Savage. We're going to record a vote in this regard.
Okay, so Councillor Burgess?
Abstain.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Kern?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Hoyle?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
McAteer?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
Against.
Councillor Mulberry?
For.
Councillor Riley? I don't think Councillor Riley's on the call. Councillor Ruan?
Or.
Councillor Savage?
On the basis that we discussed on Thursday night, for.
Councillor Stokes?
For, Chair, on the basis that it's not related to the concerns I raised earlier. Three concerns. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Tinnelly?
Against.
Okay, so that is 9-4, 3 against. And 2 abstentions.
Okay, so the motion or the item carries. Moving on to item number 7, and the Brexit stakeholder event with with Mr. McGilley.
Chairman, we have through the Assembly Committee for the Executive Office have been invited to attend a meeting to present to the committee on the. Basically, the impacts and opportunities and concerns around the exit from the EU, Chairman, and the invitation has been extended to one officer and one councillor, Chairman. A recommendation there that the Chief Executive and the Chair of Council, Chairperson of Council, would attend the event on the, I think it's the 4th of November, Chairman. So that's the recommendations before you this evening. It's an opportunity, I suppose, to highlight some of the issues and the work that's been ongoing and some of the, so still concerns that arise around, I suppose, the lack of information and the business preparation that's required ahead of any exit from the EU at the end of this year.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. So just for the matters of recording, Councillor McAteer, are you happy to propose?
Yes, sure.
Thank you. Councillor Clark, are you happy to second?
Yeah, happy enough. Sure.
Okay, moving on. Department for Communities, item number 8, Department for Communities and Data COVID-19 Revitalisation Funding. Mr. McGilley again.
So, Chairman, the report, it's a fairly detailed report that's in front of you this evening. It's outlined, I suppose, an update on the revitalisation programme. The key changes that there has been from we last presented this is that there has additional funding has been secured in the two, it's detailed there, £157,000 additional funding from DERA and a further £527,000 has been made available from DFA. So the fund now stands at 1,779,000 pounds, Chairman. We have obviously went out for an expression of interest for across the district for COVID-related responses, and those expressions of interest have come back. Chairman, as a so I suppose the key recommendations this evening are that we move to accept the additional offer of funding, and then we now engage with the department in the working up with proposals around France 2. And also move to a full application for eligible businesses to apply for the £886,000 that's available for businesses across the district, Chairman, as per the expression of interest. And that'll be based on a first come, first served. As the application process, Chairman, as I'm sure members are aware, has been extremely oversubscribed. So the recommendations and the details within the report, Chairman, so before the committee this evening.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Clark? Sorry, that is, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I have to say, you know, as John has outlined, it's been oversubscribed. There's over 1,000 applications that come in for the funding. Some large projects, which can't, you know, can't be covered by this type of grant aid. I think the council are trying to do their best in regards to helping businesses recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think that's generally what the grant will be for. You know, the sanitation, and also, you know, helping to protect the public coming into businesses. And that, I know some of the money was looked at, or the criteria was for, you know, doing up shop fronts and that. And I'm not, I don't think we're disagreeing with that, but it'll be a smaller amount of funds available. I think we're looking in around the £1,000 mark for them types of funds. So I would say to anybody that has expressed an interest to get in very quickly in regards to this, because, as I say, it is oversubscribed, and it's a first come, first served. So I think it's important the council, you know, notify all the businesses that have expressed the interest and allow them then to apply for the grant. Was that true?
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So, proposed by Councillor Clark, we do need a seconder if anybody wants to, Councillor would like to second it. Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Just for the purposes of the audio, could you second that, please?
Yeah, certainly, Chair. I would like to second it and again encourage people. In fact, if maybe if council were put up, you know, to suppose elaborate maybe more on the council website, you know, the type of thing that we'd like to see happening that will drive business and will sustain businesses taking us into next year. You know, those that are currently hard pressed, especially in the small towns and rural settlements.
So, Chairman, just to be clear, the information that will go out to those who express an interest, that will all be in detail to them, clearly, what the eligible spend is. So that will go out to them, Chairman. Yeah.
And the type of spend. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Are we all happy to move on, councillors? There's no nothing else. Okay. Moving on. Thank you. Item number 9, public Wi-Fi. Again, Mr. McGilley, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is obviously looking at town centre public Wi-Fi, and the council has, from the legacy days, provided public Wi-Fi in 6 of the main town centres across the district. Obviously, in the current arrangements in terms of the infrastructure and the management arrangements have been under review, Chairman. The council has went through a framework exercise around provision of Wi-Fi across the region, procuring new Wi-Fi provision for our centres. This also could be excluded or included in public centres, public town centres as well. However, technology and connectivity has moved significantly over the past number of years. The cost to review the infrastructure is somewhere in the region of £140,000 for public Wi-Fi, with an ongoing cost probably in the region of about £15,000 revenue. In terms of the changes in mobile connectivity, mobile coverage, 4G, and the provision of hotspots, Wi-Fi hotspots within town centres, within individual shops within town centres, be they shopping centres and even individual shops, and the proliferation of 4G means that the view would be that Wi-Fi in public space is probably a thing of the past. So the recommendation would be that the council would not renew the Wi-Fi provision across the district, given that there are plenty of other options for access to Wi-Fi, and that we would terminate the contract as per the terms of the 90-day termination period that we have with our current providers. Chairman, there is no issue around any clawback. The infrastructure that has been included really is out of date and is problematic in terms of maintenance. So that's a recommendation before the committee this evening. Chairman, the cost is just the remainder to allow for the 90-day termination notice, which is in around £5,000, £5,700.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm happy to propose that we go along with the recommendations of the officers. I mean, the report speaks for itself. Technology has changed and everybody now has 4G and are able to access all of these services via their mobile phone by and large. We are entering into a difficult period ourselves and, you know, it will be a significant investment and an investment which is no longer really needed to create connectivity for people. So I'm happy to propose that we accept the recommendations of the officers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. Councillor Clark?
Chair, I'm happy to second that proposal. I agree with the proposer and I agree with the officer. I never thought it really worked anyway, the town centre Wi-Fi. You know, it was hit and miss at the best of times. And I think by discontinuing the Wi-Fi, town centre Wi-Fi, I think it'll encourage people to use businesses, go into cafes, go into restaurants, go into libraries, you know, to obtain Wi-Fi. So I think it's a sensible proposal. And it's something that the ratepayer doesn't have to spend money on.
Thank you, Councillor Clark, for seconding. And Councillor McAteer, you want them with a question, Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, well, it was, and it's only on the back of this, and it's not that I'm against the proposal because it really is talking about town centres, but there is a statement in this that mobile connectivity is available, I think, to about 92%. Of the population, but I know from my own experience that certainly in quite a number of rural areas, despite what the government's plans were to mop up all the black the hot spots, as they call them, they were called black spots, where there was no coverage, that was never actually completed. You know, and I'm just taking the opportunity maybe for this committee to make, you know, the Ofcom or whatever aware of this. And to ask the question, even though we're withdrawing Wi-Fi from here, Wi-Fi coverage and 4G coverage, 3G coverage is definitely not available in quite a substantial part of our rural network. And I do think that needs to be addressed, because if you don't get mobile coverage, you can't access anything in those areas. And there's still a lot of people in rural areas suffering from that deprivation. Connectivity.
Okay.
I'll ask Connor, whatever in whatever form it is, but to make contact on behalf of the council to get a report back from them about the lack of coverage that was never completed.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Mr. Mallon.
Yeah, happy to take that as an action.
Okay, thank you. No other. Everyone's content to move on. Okay, moving on then to item number 10, Murray Newcastle Harbour. And I think, sorry, Mr. Patterson's taking this. Mr. Patterson?
Yeah, Chair, the 3-year term allocation of moorings at Newcastle Harbour is now ended, so really approval still have to go out for another 3-year term to allocate the moorings from April next year, and details are included in the paper, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Councillor Clark, you're happy to propose for the question as well?
Yeah, happy to propose, Chair. And I think it's been illustrated that the 3-year berth allocation has worked very well. It had been a bit of a circus, to tell you the truth, in regards to every year. People were queuing up outside Warren Point Town Hall looking for berths, and there was a lot of aggravation and stuff and stress for staff. You know, so I think the boat owners in Newcastle are happy with that 3-year proposal, so I'm happy enough to propose it.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. My eyesight's failing me here slightly. Sorry, Councillor Hannah, are you wanting to come in, Councillor Hannah, the second?
Chair, I'm happy enough to come in a second that there. One question for the officer. I know these are for 3-year terms. What if there's anybody new that's looking to berth in the harbour, is there sufficient berths in there to accept new potential boats in the harbour? As just if it's going to every, you know, it's going to be reoccurring in the sense that there's every 3 years, these berths are pretty much tied up completely. Is there any opportunities for new boats coming into the harbour or new berths?
Mr. Patterson, can you pick that up, Mr. Patterson?
Yeah, I suppose it's recognised through the chair that it's a very popular harbour, and there's been maroons there and people, boat owners using those maroons for quite considerable time. This is deemed the best way to go out to open it up for. It'll be well advertised and publicised, and if boat owners want to get maroons there now, then it'll be through this process. But we're trying to strike a balance between going out every year, and you know, it's been noted the problems that cause to going out on a 3 year term. Any longer, I think would be prohibitive in new boat owners coming in. So it'll be well advertised, and new owners, boat owners can get a mooring and enter the process now at this stage once it's advertised.
Just chair on that there. Just can I ask Andy then, is it pretty much a closed shop then? Who is actually getting into that harbour then? There is actually no new moorings or moorings available.
There's, I suppose, some capacity, but not a lot, Glenn, in the harbour there. So, but as I say, it's open and transparent in terms of the process that'll be put out now. If boat owners want to come in and get a mooring, the process is there, and it's for them to, you know, apply to. And if there's allocation available, then a mooring will be made available.
Chair, could I just ask one more question? Just to Andy, I know this year's not a year that you really could judge, but is all the moorings that are being allocated being used for like any other year?
I understand that there is capacity at the moment, that there would have been over the last season. So there would be some capacity there for new boat owners to come in.
Aye, but my question is, the ones that are already taken on, are they being fully utilised?
As far as I'm aware, they have been utilised over the summer period.
Oh, is that okay, Councillor Allen? I think they're slightly curtailed by space as well there, so if you're content to second it, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, just I don't want it to turn into a closed shop in there, so that it's only the same people all the time. Thanks.
Okay. Can you second it there? You have it to second, yes?
Sure, I did say I was seconding it.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, item number 11. Happy to move on, councillors, yes? Great, okay, so item number 11, the restocking of the Coyle River. And again, I think this is Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, Chair. To follow the notice of motion of restocking the Coyle and other rivers in the district, officers engaged with DERA officials on the regulations and the legislative requirements with regards the restocking of public angling waters. So the correspondence has been received back from DERA officials, and that's attached in Appendix 1 of the paper. Really sets out the responsibility is with DERA for restocking fish in the waters that are part of the public angling estate. So details are in the paper, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Dermot,
I think Councillor Kern was in.
Yeah, Councillor Kern. Kern, I think you may be on mute.
You just need to unmute yourself.
I would propose the recommendation that at the present time, because it has to go back to the department, and the coil, believe it or not, it is pretty well used, so it is, by people coming in to fish there. I didn't think there was many fish in it at one particular time, but it is a very effective area to sit along there, and the council has put in some, our old council did put some seating provision there for people to fish, so I go along with the recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Councillor Hannah, are you looking to come in, Councillor Hannah?
Yes, I'm looking. Just a question to the officer. Is this the only river that the council stock and pay for stock, and how much will it cost?
I'm not sure. I'll pass that on to Mr. Patterson to answer, but I'm not sure the council do stock it. I think the recommendation is for it to investigate stocking it. So I'll pass it on to Mr. Patterson to answer.
Yeah, Chair, that's the case. That just for clarity, it's not the council's responsibility for stocking fish in the River Coyle, nor any other public angling waters. It's as the correspondence paper setting out, it's the responsibility of the department. So there would be a process of engagement through which officers will go back to the department with you know, the request, but it's not council's responsibility, nor would council be financing it.
Okay, thanks.
Councillor Clark.
Yeah, Chair, I agree with the recommendation, and I said the notice of motion was the same, that it's a dangerous route for the council to go down to look at stocking rivers, which is the responsibility of DERA, the government department, to do. The DERA have outlined in the appendix that they have been stocking the river with fish, the Coyle. I think it's about us as a council, you know, holding them to account in regards to the amount of fish that's been stocked. And also there was the issue about the barrier, the flood barrier, and that, and about seals entering the river, which I think has improved the situation. But anything, you know, anything could be done to support or facilitate angling in general. It's a fantastic hobby. It's a fantastic tourist attraction. So anything the council can do in cooperation with the department, I would be happy enough to support. But I'm happy enough with the recommendation that allow DERA to get on with their job.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Burgess, you have a question, and you're down to second here as well.
Yeah, I was second to what Councillor Curran has said, but also it's like what Councillor Clark's really after saying there about the bar. He's been broken down where the seals are coming in, and that's what happens to the fish. It's not actually been fished out, it's actually been chased out by the seals, and something needs to be done there before they even do start to stock it. So I'll leave it at that, and I'm pleased to second that proposal.
Thank you very much. Councillor Brown, you're not a committee member, but I think it was on the basis of one of your motion. So if you have a quick question or comment to pass in this regard, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It was indeed myself and Councillor Enright that brought this motion originally. It was also for Councillor Burge's interest, perhaps. We actually did get the barrier fixed. It was rusted over and the seals were squeezing through the grills in it. So we actually got DERA to replace those. So the seals aren't getting in anymore. So the idea being that now that the fish stock should be less at risk from the seal population, that they can be restocked and thrive and add to the biodiversity of the area and go back to the Coyle, how it really was a long time ago when it was known as one of the best fishing locations on the whole island of Ireland. It's far and away from that now, unfortunately, but there is still a lot of local anglers who use it, and it's a fantastic spot, and it does so much for both the local economy and mental health and getting young people involved in fishing as well. The problem is that DERA have pretty much ruled out restocking for the foreseeable future. I've been lobbying them on this for months, which is exactly why I've come to council with the motion, on the basis that ABC Council actually fund, to a tune of I think over 10,000 a year, restocking in Loch Gall. So I'd like to ask Andy, if you can, did we consider the model that ABC have in terms of Loch Gall? Do we look at that as an option for ourselves, and why isn't it in the report? You know, if they're doing it, why can't we? And I would recommend that council does look to put some sort of modest amount of money towards restocking, perhaps in partnership with DERA. At the very least, we could be lobbying them strongly to restock the Coyle, but I would actually say that we should reach in our own pockets and try and support the local hobby fishermen, because it's very important for the area.
Mr. Patterson, do you want to briefly address the question there about the other models, and then we'll move on.
Chair. The recommendation is that officers will go back and formally request DEIR that they develop the plan, necessary surveys, etc., and approvals in order to restock fish in the coil. So we will write formally to DEIR if that recommendation is passed. In terms of funding the fish or restocking of the fish, officers have looked at different things and different aspects, and I suppose other councils. That's really a decision for those councils. But what we've done here in this paper is brought back to members just clarity on which departments and which authorities are responsible for this particular area, which is of restocking. The proposal is not to fund that out of council budget. I think there's other responsibilities and other priorities for council, particularly at the minute, and officers are not making a recommendation that funding of restocking fish in the river is a priority at the minute. So that's a recommendation as it stands in the paper.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Councilman Grew?
Yeah, Chair, I'll be very brief. We have a proposer and a seconder. The recommendations aren't in the paper, are there? We seem to be deviating quite far from the paper and potentially opening a can of worms at this stage. So, I do feel that we have deviated significantly from the paper and the recommendations, but it has been proposed and seconded, so happy to move on.
Okay.
Chair, just before you move on there, Councillor Brown said that the barrage has been fixed. Well, they need to take a wee look because the seals are still there.
Okay, thank you.
And they're shut in. Well, then somebody needs to get them out. But okay. I think they're getting in somewhere else. Somebody needs to take a look.
Okay, there. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Okay, move on, councillors? Okay, moving on. Item number 12 is street trading Warren Point. Mr. Jackson?
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to consider the conditions of trading at the trading bays at the square in Warren Point, and to impose restrictions on hot food trade in that area. As you're already aware, the council have previously considered complaints against the trading at the square in Warren Point and have recently revoked the license for the existing hot food trader. So in consideration, the council now need to consider conditions of trading in the area, and specifically the restriction of hot food trading. So the recommendation is to restrict the sale or supply of hot food under the authority of the street trading licence issued by the council for the three trading bears at the square in Warren Point. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Councillor Ryan, you're happy to propose. Are you happy to propose this for the matter of the recording?
Proposed, Chair, yep.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Councillor McAteer, are you happy to second?
I'm happy to second that indeed, yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillors, are we content to move on? Yep, okay, thank you. In the committee. Items 13 to 18 will be held in closed session. Items 13 and 18 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So could I have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? Thank you, Councillor Hart. Could you propose this for the matter of the recording, Councillor Hart? Okay. Councillor Stokes, could you second?
I've got a second, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Are we okay to move into closed session, Sarah? Or does...
Yeah, just give us a second.
Okay, yep, so, during closed session, on the I'm item sure. number 13, on the
Sorry, just going to wait. I've invited the press back in, so I'm just going to wait to see if they're going to come back. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so item 13, the proposal of Councillor Hoyle, seconded by Councillor Burgess. It was agreed to note the action reports from the Task and Finish Board meetings held on the 15th of May 2020, 19th of June 2020 and 14th of August 2020 as follows: to progress a licence agreement with Forest Service to facilitate the DERA funded works, agree a draft lease for Castlemaine Forest Park with Forest Service to facilitate the NHLF works and activities, to appoint an archaeologist and ecologist to fulfil conditions and planning permissions for the DERA project, to appoint the most economically advantageous tenderer to undertake the construction and refurbishment of the Bothy Yard, tender report attached, for the integrated design team, council officers and task and finish board members to continue with the value engineering exercise on the NLHF project while ensuring delivery against the key objectives of the project, i.e. heritage, people and community. For the NLHF project to progress design development from 24th of November 2020 to 9th of March 2021 to ensure that if council receives funding from the NLHF that the project is shovel ready. Item 14, support of arts and Newry Chamber of Music. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Hoyle, it was agreed that council to support in kind in providing a venue at Warren Point Town Hall to Newry Chamber of Music for recording and production purposes, to approve licence agreement between council and Newry Chamber of Music for storage of a grand piano in Warren Point Town Hall. Item number 15, visit Mourne website, replication project. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to sign a deed of indemnity with Tourism NI sending out the financial assistance offer, the terms and conditions of the process for a new website for Visit Mourne based on the application of Discovery NI and to be responsible for the annual hosting and maintenance costs for 5 years based on costs provided. Item 16, Rural Tourism Collaborative Programme Application. On the proposal of Councillor Burgess, seconded by Councillor Mulgrew, it was agreed to submit an application to DERA Rural Tourism Collaborative Experience Programme based on the recommended budget and in-kind support. Item number 17, Albert Basin Christmas Car Parking. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to approve the proposal for Keys Management Company and PHA to share the Albert Basin site, to approve the licence to the Keys Management Company for 50% of the site area at 50% of the market rent recommended in the updated valuation. Item number 18, financial assistance funding, tourism, marketing and events. On the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to approve the recommendation for grant awards within the financial assistance grant programme for support programme for tourism events and arts sector and tourism partnership marketing funding. Thank you very much, councillors. Items number 19 through to number 26 are for noting. So if it would be picked up with officers, if required, that can draw this meeting to a conclusion.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yes,
Councillor Curran has a question there.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just a very quick question. On item 23, is there any update in relation to the position there in relation to the fishing ports here in Ardlass and Kilkeel? Both of them are in the same position. Both need environmental and technical studies to ascertain the costs they got there to make a business case. And I just want to know, in section 3 of the report, is any update on that to let us know what's happening?
Mr. Mallon?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, Councillor Kern, we've received the report and we have considered it, and we've made the findings of the report known in our paper in front of you for noting. We are working very closely, and we're on with the department on a weekly basis trying to arrange a meeting with the key stakeholders to bring them discussions forward to try and get a resolution. And the minute we have something to report back to you, we'll make contact with you.
Thank you very much, Chair. That's very encouraging.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mallon. That draws our meeting this evening to a conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Chair. Not easy, Chair, and remote.